passage of scripture that I read from John chapter 11. It was a scene where Lazarus was, many of you recognize it, and Lazarus was the friend of Jesus. He's called the friend of Jesus, and he died. His disciples didn't even understand. And when he got the news, he delayed his coming for 4 days so that something brilliant and magnificent could come from it. They didn't understand. And he's finally simply told them, Lazarus is dead. Well, and people wanted to kill Jesus for the 3.5 years that he was doing his public ministry. And so, well, let's go to Bethany and die along with them. They were thinking, well, they're going to catch us and we're going to die as well. And then I read that passage where, you know, Mary and Martha meets him, and he tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's what it's all about. But in that passage, a little bit later, the shortest passage in the English Bible as far as verses go, John chapter 11, verse 35, it said Jesus wept. And so if you're grieving, I know that my mother has shed some tears and will probably still shed some tears, and some of you will, because your life has been touched by another life. See, Jesus is and evermore will be God according to the Bible. But God became a man in the second person of the Trinity. He was born of a virgin, which meant his blood was pure and untainted. He was perfect, and he never sinned. But he was still human, and in his humanness, if you'll call it that, it said he wept. Not just from the sorrow that he's surrounded by sin, but a friend of his had passed away. And your friend, your sister, your cousin, your dear one in your heart has passed away. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate to weep. And Jesus wept. He wept for the unbelief of people, believing that here is God who became a man and walked among them and showed mighty miracles, and yet people disbelieved. Because that is the condition of human beings since Adam. If you believe the Bible and that we come from Adam and Eve, and Adam in his disobedience, he was made perfect and yet disobeyed God. But God didn't bring a plan because it was a knee-jerk reaction to, oh my, what am I going to do now? The thing I created sinned. It was the plan that the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, that he is the Lamb of God who was slain from before the foundation of the earth. This was God's plan from before the beginning, to show his mercy, to show his love in having his son die so that others who believe on him have life in his name. This is what this passage is about. There's instructions for how we should grieve the dead in Leviticus as far as for a Hebrew understanding of that. So grief is okay. It's okay to cry. And death is a reminder of sin and Adam and his death and his disobedience to God, which brought those things, death, into the world. Death is a constant reminder that there's hope. But likewise, I find it interesting that the one thing that is a salve, an ointment, the thing that will comfort our hearts is joy and laughter. Other relationships that though our lives were touched by this young lady, though our relationships, our heartstrings were pulled by the relationship you've had with her, relationship we've all had with one another because of her. That's a thing to celebrate, is it not? Those are wonderful things, and those come from God. You know, many people will ask, well, why is God doing this? And, you know, a lot of times I find that most of the people that are asking that don't give God a moment's time while we're on earth and then want to spend the rest of eternity with him. Let's look at ourselves and then laugh at ourselves that God would want to spend time with us at all. So I find that very interesting, and it causes me to reflect upon my sinful life. I'm nothing. And Jesus, in fact, this is the thing, that Jesus thinks about death as not the good thing, even though good things will come about from it. Why? Because Jesus died in order that we might believe on his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood, that he suffered the wrath of God that paid the penalty for sin, that if we believe on him, that we may have life in his name because of his death. But he didn't rush headlong into death, even though he came on purpose to die. He prayed in the garden in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. He said, Father, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He prayed in agony, it says in the two verses later. He prayed in agony and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Now, they probably weren't great drops of blood, but his agony was so profuse. Why? Because if he is God, who became man and fully God, and lived the righteous life that you and I can't, it would be a sin, just like it was for Adam, to jump into death, because Adam was told, in the day that you eat from the tree thereof, you shall surely die. Dying you shall die, more literally from the Hebrew. You shall die. And he partook, because he was with his wife. She was deceived, but he was right there. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, he gave unto her husband who was with her, and he did eat. But Jesus, he prayed because that was the good and righteous thing to do, because he's the Lord of light and the Lord of life, and therefore to rush headlong into death would have been the same as what Adam did. But instead, he did so to submit to the Father's will, and the Father says that by your death, if people believe on that, that they will have life in his name. So he led a righteous life through an incarnation, a virgin birth, an impossibility, because God brought forth his Son. He was crucified, paying a debt he did not owe, for a debt that we owe and could not pay. He suffered the wrath of God because in our lives we're disobedient by virtue of just being born. He was raised from the dead to prove that he was truly man and truly God, proving what he said he was and who he said he was, with a promise of returning. And with this hope that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And in his return, he'll destroy that. And until that time, there's a reminder that death reigns until he, or death is there, and he rules, and though he rules and reigns, death is still there until he returns. So we do have that hope. And see, just believing that, James chapter 2, verse 19 says, the devils believe and tremble. You believe that God is one, there's one God. The devils believe and tremble. They've seen him in the unseen world. But if hearing that news of what Christ has done has changed you with inside, that says, I believe that, and I trust in that, that when the Lord returns, or when I am taken away from this mortal coil, then you'll have life in his name. That's the difference. That there's something that moves us that says that's real, because that's not natural. I fought tooth and nail to believe that. That's ridiculous. And I wasn't one who believed in evolution. When I was in the Navy, they come up to me, and I, you know, here I was, a hairy-chested Navy deep sea. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not hairy-chested, I'm Filipino. I was a Navy diver, and they said, you know, we didn't come from monkeys. I said, look, I've been to the San Diego Zoo. Monkeys don't do the stupid stuff we do. Or at least they didn't do the stupid stuff I did, and I'll tell you, I have a list. Your list, our list, together. Volume. But that's what it is. I want you to not look at that. If you want to cry, cry. Weep. I haven't had a chance to yet. And I love my sister. I want to be strong for my mom. And I'll have a time. And I know that the comfort of my family being here, that's good medicine. And I thank God for that. If you want to laugh, don't think, oh, this is inappropriate. Laugh. My sister would have told you to laugh. If she were conscious, she probably would have been laughing in the hospital bed through the pain at times. If Jonathan and I were there, she would have made us make her laugh. You know that, don't you, Mark? And many of you do, whom I've got to meet or have met. And I'm not going to drag it on. I just want to invite you to come on out, tell your stories to my family. If I haven't met you, please forgive me for not meeting you yet. I want to meet you. I'm grateful to the Lord for you because you meant something to my sister. And if you meant something to my sister, you mean something to me. And I know you'll mean something to those others that I know a little bit better than you, but are no less family. So with that, I'm going to just kind of close it in prayer. My daughter, she's not raising her hand, so she might not be here. She was trying to rush to get a video that we might see, which is going to be kind of fun. Hopefully she'll have that put together, and if you want to see it at the house, Merle is dancing in 1969 in Tomorrowland in a hot suit. She must have been or a hot pants suit that my mom made. We filmed in 8mm. Yeah, I can't miss that. And for all those that have seen her karaoke, Like a Virgin, there's no way you can miss that. I want to see that. I mean, I was there when she did I can't say if it was one of the first times. I'm a stranger in my own family. But she did it, and she's prancing around, and even with her weight at the time, I was wondering, how do you move like that? It reminds me of WWF when these 400-pound guys are jumping off the top rope of the ring. That's crazy. So with that, we'll pray, and then I'm going to go to Mr. Bill Oaks, and we'll be dismissed, and we'll go have some lumpia and all kinds of other Filipino food that y'all can't pronounce. Our most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name and for His sake, we do come before You, and we thank You, Lord, for the blessing of life and the retrospection of death. And may we find both the appropriateness of grief, and may we find also the blessedness of joy in these things that we must deal with until Christ returns and set all things right. I pray, Lord, that You'll minister Your blessed truth and minister to souls that may not know You, but have heard the gospel in this way, that it moves them. And for all that we have that we may be doing tonight, going into the house and out of the house and just being able to have some time to say hello, may we fellowship that to bring You glory and to remember things that we have had the opportunity to enjoy and the circumstances and providence that You have given. In Jesus' name and for His sake, we do pray. Amen. Mr. Oaks?